When a government can confiscate the earnings of the people with no restraint or no limit whatsoever on the amount that government takes, then government has become the master.
Didn't you say that all services were worth at least $5.15, and here there is a service that's being rendered to you personally, which you are not compensating at all?
No, I said to you earlier, unless someone decides that they want to volunteer.
During the election, all this enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders was taking place while people in Venezuela, under a socialist government, were starving. They were breaking into grocery stores desperate to get food.
Regulation.
What do you think should be the proper income tax rate?
Well, the best would be zero.
Welcome back to another episode of Law and Profits here on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. I'm King Ginger, and that is where you can find me actually on Minds. That's a new social media platform that I am really excited about, and we're going to talk about that today. But here on Law and Profits, the mercy of the wicked is cruel. That's right, the mercy of the wicked is cruel. And today, actually, we're not going to be talking about someone that's wicked. We're going to be talking about a friend. Actually, I think he's more of a family member. He's part of the Fight, Laugh, Feast family. His name is Matt Williams, and he has an amazing show. His show is called How to Build a Tent. And you should absolutely listen to that show because I really love it. And I'm not just saying that because I'm about to roast Matt. Because I am about to roast Matt. but I am saying that because the stuff that he puts out 5 days a week on how to build a business, how to have a Christian worldview in your business, how to build income for your family is absolutely fantastic, and I love it. I really do, Matt. You do a great job. And just to show how much I love you, Matt, everybody that's listening to this episode should go and sign up for the Fight Laugh Feast Club membership and make sure you put in the code HTBT and let Matt know when you sign up for that membership how much you appreciate him too. So today we're going to be talking about the banning. I guess the banning, the social media banning, the takeover of social media by, actually, it's not really, the social media hasn't really been taken over by liberals. It's always been run by liberals. Christians are late to the party. And we're just now getting to the point, I think, where we're starting to see why that is such a problem, why we should not have been late to this party. We should have been early adopters. But remember, guys, see, this happened, and I knew when it was coming out, when social media started to be a thing back in the days of MySpace, early days of Facebook, there were tons of articles. Actually, I wonder if you go back and you read some of Tim Challey's posts from maybe 2006, 2008, when social media was really starting to take off. It's all caution, caution, caution. The new technology, it's going to ruin our lives, and all that stuff was true for sure. But we didn't take the approach that was like, hey, how can we use this social media to take over? How can we use this social media to be influencers in our culture? That wasn't the conversation at all. It was always like, caution, caution, caution. Be weary, be cautious. And all that stuff is good and true. We absolutely should be cautious when it comes to social media and the time that we dedicate to being on social media and to being with our families. For sure, I know me personally, that's a strong thing that we have to manage. However, we've always been that way. When it came to the movie theaters, when it came to the media, when it came to like television, we were always really cautious about new forms of technology as Christians, and we weren't really embracing of it and taking it over. And so that's led us to this position now where conservative, not even really Christianity, really doesn't have a lot to do with this, because a lot of the conservative influencers that are being shut down by Facebook, they're not really Christians. Like Alex Jones, for example, I wouldn't consider him a Christian. Jordan Peterson for sure is not a Christian. So all these influencers just have a conservative worldview. They imitate Christianity and they're being taken down. And so it's only going to get worse. I actually received a message from somebody, and I'm still trying to get all the details, but he helps translate Christian movies into Arabic or something along those lines, dealing with like the Bible movie in Arabic or whatever. I don't have all the details, but he was just recently banned from Facebook because Facebook, quote, wants to keep a peaceful global community, and translating Christian films into Arabic apparently doesn't help with that much. So, it is going to get worse. Just last week, somebody was banned for sharing a Paul Washer sermon. They did admit their error and they recovered it, but they also, upon review, flagged two more things that extended his ban before they realized it was a mistake and fixed it. So it's only going to get worse. I'm a pretty optimistic person. People that know me know I'm pretty gung-ho when it comes to the expansion of God's kingdom on earth. All that post-mill stuff, all that optimism, all that hope, all that joy, I'm gung-ho. But if there's anything in this time on earth during this moment of church history that I am pessimistic about, it's Facebook and Twitter and Google and their view of Christianity. And I don't think, apart from an amazing miracle of God, that is going to get better. So I've always said, what we need to do as Christians, and I've said this years ago about Christian film, Christian media, Christian television, I've said, Christians, we need to start creating decent content. We need to embrace film and television and media. We need to take ownership of this because this stuff is for God. Google did not develop all that infrastructure, all that data, all that science for humanism. They built it for the advancement of God's kingdom, even if they don't realize it. And film and all the advancements in film and technology and digital media, that is for the advancement of God's kingdom. Pagans build things to advance God's kingdom. And so it is God's and it is ours to use to glorify him, even if the liberals don't recognize it yet. For sure, when we look through time and we're 100 years from now, we're going to look back and be like, man, that was definitely God's. And the story will come together. But as of now, it's not going to happen. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen anytime soon. So we have to start looking for approaches. What should Christians do during this time when you have really a Goliath like the world has never seen before? Mark Zuckerberg, I really believe this with all my heart. Mark Zuckerberg is more powerful than Caesar was in the times of Scripture. Mark Zuckerberg has the power with one Facebook post to launch wars. He really does. He really does. I think it might be Malaysia. I'm not exactly sure where, but it was somewhere around that area. There was a civil war that was started and people died. And it was a result of really just the bad translation between their language and the code, the Facebook code. And so the bad translation, I believe, actually started a civil war and people died. And the problem they were having was they weren't able to adopt the standard coding language that most of the world uses into this language. And it caused some translation problems, apparently, or something. I don't know the whole story. But anyway, a civil war started because of Facebook. So Zuckerberg can actually start wars if he wanted to. So he has a lot of power. And first off, I don't envy his position of power at all. He has a lot of pressure on him. But his solution now is to say, you know what? Instead of me as a business owner, as an individual, dealing with this power and offloading this power by giving it to my users, his position is, I'm just going to offload this power and give it to the government. And the government can then dictate what is hate speech or not. The government can then determine what should or shouldn't be on Facebook. And I don't have to worry about it. And I'm free to, you know, focus on my business. And it's lazy and it's cowardice. And it's incredibly dangerous for the future of our country. And so this leads to people who are seeing, you know, Patreon banning individuals and banks banning individuals and all these organizations and institutions banning people for supposed hate speech. This creates a real dilemma. And so the solution, we have to ask, well, what's the solution? What's the solution? So I've always said the solution is to build another platform, to not just any platform, but a better platform. And not just a better platform, not a social media website, but embrace and build and create better technology for the primary focus of expanding God's kingdom. This is what I've said. And when I'm not, and I've also been very clear that we can't just go and build a faith, F-A-I-T-H, a faith book. We can't build a His Holy Space or a Christian version of some social media platform. We need to build better technology, and it's hard work. It's not easy. And, but that's what we got to do. We're at the point now where the fact that we're even talking about this means that we're too late. And it's concerning to me, honestly. It's incredibly concerning to think that by the time you take 5 years to actually get a new platform or new technology created, tested, beta tested, checked and invested in, it could be too late by this point. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't start trying and we shouldn't start doing innovative things. So that brings me to Matt Williams. Matt Williams had a podcast, and on his podcast, he stated that the solution is not to build another social media platform. And one of the main reasons, he said, is because it is hard work. And first off, let me just say this one before we dive into the show. I actually agree with every single thing that Matt said in how to build this, how to build a 10 episode. So I don't want to come across like I'm just nitpicking what he said. I actually agree. If you listen to this whole show, I agree completely with everything he said. I disagree with his pessimism. And maybe that's an eschatological thing. Maybe it's not. But I disagree with the pessimism. And that's what bugged me about it. Because I think he's right on a lot. And I'm actually going to take what he says and kind of add the minutiae, I think, that's needed. And we're going to do that in a minute. But I just want to say very clearly that I love Matt. And I disagree with his pessimism of what he says, not the content so much as to what he says. And we're going to break that down starting now.
I want to talk about the comments and just the kind of atmosphere that we live in right now with social media, where Christians are kind of just saying, like, why doesn't a Christian just go start a social media company? Because we are getting kicked off, we're getting deplatformed, as they call it. And we are obviously not welcome on these liberal social media sites that are owned by, you know, San Francisco and the elites. So we just need to go build our own. And I don't think that people that say that really understand the industry, the social media industry, from a business perspective. Because when you think about social media, think Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, like, there's only four. There should be just a company that gets together, gets some money, and just builds their own. How hard can it be? Just copy them and just don't deplatform people.
Okay, so let's start there. First off, I don't believe that it's as simple as just creating another platform. I don't think that's the way to go about this. So I've said it before, and I'll say it again. We don't need to build a new platform. We need to build a better technology. One of the things that makes Facebook so powerful is not that it's just a social media website. Now, anybody can download a WordPress plugin and create a social media website. Anybody can have an alternative social media platform. That's not hard to do. And there's hundreds of websites that you can download the template to and create your own version of Facebook, create your own Twitter, create your own YouTube. It's very easily done. So with that being said, I don't think it's as easy as just starting your own platform. One of the things that makes Facebook so powerful, actually, is not the social media aspect, but all the technology that monitors the user's data. So Facebook knows that I'm a conservative that lives in Phoenix, that I am pro-life, that I order food on Uber Eats when I can. They know that I use Lyft over Uber. They know all these things about me. They know where I shop online. They know what I order online. They know exactly these sort of ads to show me. And a lot of times I click on them because they're relevant and it works and it's powerful. It's powerful because it's the first time in history you've been able to target market a specific amount of people, a very niche amount of people, with exactly the stuff that they want to see and they want to buy. So Facebook advertising is really the foundation of what makes Facebook and Google, for sure, so powerful. That is why they have to own everything. That's why they have to not only, and that's why Google isn't content with just being a search engine. They have to have the phone that monitors every single thing you do so they can sell ads to you. So it's a lot more than just creating a better search engine that's better than, you know, Google. That's not what I'm saying. When I say we need to build a better platform, how hard can it be? I know it is incredibly hard work. So when I'm saying that we need to build a better technology, we need to build a better platform, I am saying that we have to put in the work. And what you're going to hear from Matt over and over again is it's hard, it's hard, it's hard. And to that I say, well, God told us to turn this entire earth into Eden. And nothing is harder than that. It required Jesus to die on the cross and receive the wrath of God so that we could do that. And it's not even in our nature to turn this earth into Eden, but yet that's an instructions he's given us in the church. And so when I think about, oh, we just have to make a better technology, we need to create a better social media platform, I go, cool, that's one step into turning this earth into Eden. It couldn't be the hardest part of turning earth into Eden, but yet it's part of what we're supposed to do. So yes, I accept the fact that doing this is hard. And just for the record, I know that Matt's coming at this from a business perspective. Like if you're in Shark Tank, if you're sitting before the sharks on Shark Tank and you present an idea, they're going to be like, no, it's too much work. I'm not going to invest in it. I got it. Like I get it from a practical business standpoint. Nobody's going to invest in a hard idea. And we're going to get into this more. But let's continue to hear what Matt says.
I think the Facebook and those kinds, the major liberal social media sites are going to just kick off main players, probably content producers like us first. And then like maybe some people that share. But for the most part, I don't think the average person is going to be kicked off where they have to go to another platform. And even if they do get kicked off, like you still have to build a platform that is going to make people want to come to yours and want to start over and find new friends and get their friends to come on. It's really hard to do.
Okay. So we see Matt's made it very abundantly clear that it is very hard to do. And I agree with him on that. But that shouldn't stop us. Hard work should not stop us from changing the world. That's what we're called to do. And when I look at Zuckerberg and Sundar Pichai and Jack on Twitter, those three, Facebook, Google, and Twitter, those three, when I look at those three guys, I look and say, man, that right there, that's a Goliath. And we are David. And we don't even have armor. And right now, we really don't even have a sling. We I mean, but then I remember what David said. Who are these uncircumcised Philistines to defy the armies of the living God? And that needs to be our attitude when we're looking at this behemoth. Look, what we're looking at right now has never been, we've never seen this in history, in church history. What we have here is, well, we actually kind of have. So back in the days of the before the Reformation, before the printing press, the Catholic priest had the chains on the Bible, and they would unlock the chains and only let people read the Bible based on a certain social status, based on their permission. And what we're looking at is we're looking into going back into a pre-Reformation time where the distribution of information is only allowed based on the permission of the priest. And the priests today are Zuckerberg, Sundar Pichai, and Jack on Twitter. Those are the three priests. And man, I really hope his name is Sundar Pichai, but I think that's close enough. The CEO of Google. And so these are the priests, and they have determined who can and cannot have a voice on their platforms. This is why we call it being deplatformed. And it's worse. It's so much worse, because not only are they saying you can't have a Google account, you can't have a Twitter account, you can't have a YouTube account, you can't have a Facebook account. They're saying, Amazon's coming in and saying, yeah, not only that, you can't host anything about your website on our storage data centers, which, by the way, Amazon controls about, I believe, 70% of the data on the internet through their data storage systems. Amazon's not going to let you use their servers for data storage, but they're also saying Patreon isn't going to let you do anything. PayPal's not going to let you do anything. The banks aren't going to let you have accounts. This is a really radical, radical form of persecution. And it's not the kind of persecution that you think of. When you think of persecution, you think of North Korean detainment camps or Chinese detainment camps, or what's happening in the Middle East with Christians, or India with Christians. You think of actual blood. But what's happening here is actual suppression, almost apocalyptic in the Mark of the Beast terms, where, and I hate to say this, but you know, I believe that the prophecies in Revelation, they happened in AD 70, of course, but we see them throughout history. Just they keep coming back, right? And so we're seeing this point again where Christians aren't allowed to buy or sell or trade goods. Again, and we're going to overcome it, and we'll come out stronger from it. But this is what we're seeing. So when but the difference is now, I think that the gospel has gone forth in such a way, it's created a form of technology that makes it possible at this very moment in time, even though we see this stuff happening, we have an opportunity to prepare. We have an opportunity to invest and build technology and stuff to counter what we're seeing right now. We have the means to do it. No one's taken our internet access completely away yet. No one's taken computers out of our houses. All the technology that we need to do this, we have. And if you think about this, you know, like Apple was started in someone's garage, right? Amazon was done out of Jeff Bezos's garage. These businesses started from nothing and they became something great over time. It didn't happen right away. You're not going to throw an app on the App Store and instantly have millions upon millions of users at your beck and call. That's not how any of this works. And I don't think for a moment that I've ever said that it's simple, but it is hard. And because it is hard, it's all the more reason we need to do it.
So it's not just coming up with an idea. It's not just, well, just someone go do it.
I want to stop there. I don't believe that just because somebody has an idea, it's invest worthy. if somebody comes up to me and they says, hey, I have this great idea for this movie. People do this to me all the time. They'll come up to me and they'll say, hey, I have this great idea for a movie. You know, here's the idea for the movie. You know, what would it take? Do you know anybody that'd be willing to invest in it? And they've never made a movie in their life. They've never even made a YouTube video in their life. They'll usually come up with the idea and then say, hey, do you know what kind of video editing software I should use? So just because someone has an idea doesn't mean it's invest worthy. It's not worthy of investment. But when I'm talking about investors or Christians needing investors, I'm not talking about giving money to people who've never done anything in their life. I know people who have built businesses, maybe for other companies, or they are skilled in the work that they do for other companies, and they have the talent, they have the knowledge, they have the demonstrable evidence that they are capable of actually doing this thing if they have the investment. And many of those people are side hustling and they're working to get to a point where they can at least get the idea off the ground to support them enough so they can work on it. These are the people I'm talking about investing in. I'm not talking about just throwing an idea to people. But anyway, let's continue to hear what Matt says.
But it's also, we need people with money. And I have just a gut feeling, just from knowing loosely the investment world, there's not too many Christians with a lot of money that have the mindset to be strategically investing in Christian companies that can influence culture, that can influence media, that can influence the arts. I just don't see it. I see a lot more of the liberal humanist agenda, values-centered people that are the successful people that are backing these Facebooks, these Snapchats, these Instagrams.
He's absolutely right. And this, I think, is the brunt of the problem. This is the issue. And like I said, I don't disagree with anything Matt's saying. I just disagree with this pessimism about the whole thing. He's absolutely right here. If I were to have gone to a Christian investor and I would have said, I have an idea for an app, and this app is going to let people drive around and pick people up and pay them, and within 5 years of it coming out, we're just going to make the taxi cab industry irrelevant. If I were to tell that to a Christian investor, they would think I was crazy. But now we have Uber. If I were to go to a Christian investor and say, I have an idea for an app and people are going to share photos on it, and the investor would look at me and go, well, yeah, but can't people already share photos on Facebook? Can't people already share photos on other platforms? And they would be right. But that's what Instagram was. And that got sold for $1 billion. If I were to go to a Christian investor and say, hey, I have an idea for this messaging app, and it's going to delete the messages as soon as somebody reads it, and then we're going to introduce stories where people can post their videos throughout the day, but it's only going to stay up for 24 hours and they'll never be able to see them again. And the people who follow the individuals will never be able to see it again. Christian investors wouldn't have invested in that. If I would have said that, hey, I have this idea for a car that is battery powered, can get 300 miles on a single charge, and drives itself completely, Christian investors wouldn't have gotten behind such an idea. But Matt's right. It's the liberal humanists that are more willing to take risks with their money. And I think that's a problem. And not only do I think it's a problem, I think it's sin. And this is why. If we go to the parable of the talents, we see that there were three men. And the man, there was a man who called his slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. So then they go on their journey, and each of these men invests their talents, except for the last one. He said, in verse 24 of Matthew 25, it says, And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See what you have. See, you have what is yours. So you have a guy who went and he, you know, you had 2 other guys and they invested their talents and they doubled their money for their master. Here you have a guy who said, I'm not going to invest the money. This guy's, you know, he's a hard master and I'm just not going to do it. So he buried his money in the ground and gave him back exactly what was given to him. And the master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put money in the bank. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Now, hear me out on this. Here you have a guy who chose not to invest. And the master said it would have been better to just put the money in the bank and gather the interest. So notice this. The ones in whom the master was pleased was the one who took the money and did the hard work of turning, of doubling that money. That is the ones that were rewarded. The master said he should have put the money in the bank and gathered the interest. He was being sarcastic in that statement. He said, man, it would have just been better just to put that money in the bank and gather interest. But that's what conservatives do with their money. Do you understand? When Matt is absolutely right when he says, in the Christian business community, there isn't anyone that he knows of, that I know of, that would be willing to invest their money in risky technological enterprises and app development and hard work, because they can just put their money in stocks and they can just put their money in the bank and they can acquire the interest on it. That's what the problem we have now. So the problem we have he's absolutely right. The investors, the Christian investors, don't want to invest. So if you have a great idea, who do you have to go to? You have to go to the liberal humanist who are optimistic about the future, more so than the Christians, and want to invest in all these technologies because they're willing to risk their money. But the problem is, if you go and invest with these people, you're being unequally yoked. So Christians are in a tough position. There's Christians out there that have the plan. They have the strategy. They have the model. They have the talent. They have the skills. But they don't have the investors who are willing to risk it all and to invest their talents to double their talent. That's what Christianity doesn't have. So Matt is absolutely right about that. And that's a problem. And that's a problem. We as Christians need to be as radical as investing our money as the liberal technology Silicon Valley angel investors. Where are the Christian angel investors that are willing to seriously put money behind amazing ideas that will not only benefit the world as a whole, whether they're liberal, conservative, Christian, humanist, atheist, Buddhist, whatever, just makes great technology. I'm not talking about creating Christian versions of things. I'm talking about radical new platforms and ideas that need to be developed and need to be created, and Christians need to do it first. This is where investors need to focus. They need to stop burying their talents in the ground, and they need to double them. Because God loves a worker who earns an income. This is throughout Scripture. God wants us to take our money, invest our money, and use it to bless people. And I think Matt would completely agree with everything I'm saying here. I think he wouldn't have a problem at all with any of this, but I just want to be clear that he's absolutely right on this, that the problem is that the conservative Christian investors are too careful with their money. And just one more thing. If I were to come to you as a Christian investor and I were to say, I have an idea for autonomous drones that will come and pick you up at your house, and they will fly you off to work in about 15 or 20 minutes. And all you have to do is press a button on your app and you'll have an autonomous drone just sent to your house. Would you be willing to invest in that sort of idea? Because that's what Uber's doing right now. Uber is doing that at this very moment. They're working on radical things. Radical things. And Christians are nowhere to be seen. Their money isn't influencing these decisions. If you go and listen to the whole show, I cut it out of this, but if you go listen to the whole show, Matt talks about how we need a position of power we could have in these social media companies is to invest in these companies to such a degree that we actually have some sort of control or say over their business decisions. And I absolutely agree with that. But Christian investors aren't going to invest in radical concepts like flying drones to pick people up and take them to work. I don't know a single one. And if you are one and you're listening to this, I really want you to consider what you're doing with your money. And I really want you to consider praying to God about how to use your money in a way that changes the world, like radical investments in technology and ideas with people who have demonstrated their abilities to create these things. Let's continue to see what Matt says.
Because if we could get Christians in leadership positions at Facebook, on the board of Facebook, then we would be able to have more of an influence on companies like that. Because we're never going to be able to just come up with a new social media platform that knocks off of Facebook. We have a much better chance of purposely applying for positions like this, praying for God to use us and get us into positions like this, and then start shaping the culture and taking it over.
So here Matt's saying that one of the things that a Christian should do, and I absolutely completely agree with this, is that we should position ourselves in positions of power in these companies. We should start at the bottom and work our way to the top. And I absolutely 100% agree with this. I think this is absolutely critical, and it should happen. The problem is, I know people who work at major companies, and the culture of those companies are so opposed to Christianity that they have to remain silent. They can't even share a pro-life article on their Facebook pages without their entire jobs and careers being destroyed. That is how toxic and liberal the cultures are, especially at the higher ranks of these organizations. So my concern with, although I absolutely agree with him, that we should work to become influential in these companies, and there's probably people listening to this podcast that I'll never know of that do work for these companies and they can't tell anybody. And I agree with that. But my concern is, okay, let's say you get an executive position on Facebook. how are you, if you haven't been able to speak about Christ or speak about conservative issues for fear of losing your job, when's the point you're just suddenly going to come out and be like, hey guys, guess what? The conservatives run this thing now. Like, when is that going to happen? If you're fearful that you're going to lose your job, so you remain silent all these years and work your way up to the top, at what point do you get high enough that you can finally be who God made you to be and speak about the things God wants you to speak about? So I actually think that, although a good position, is actually harder to do than to actually quit your job at Facebook and develop a better technology. I actually think it's easier to take the skills you've learned and apply it to something new than it would be to somehow miraculously take over Zuckerberg from the inside. I'm sure it could happen. I'm sure there could be a coup between conservatives on the executive team at Facebook and they could remove Zuckerberg from power, but that would be a messy thing, and I just don't see that happening. I think Zuckerberg has so many men around him that are predominantly yes men that the odds of being able to do that and remain faithful to the word of God in such a way that you would have to is pretty much impossible. But, you know, God is sovereign and he kills giants. So maybe not.
But we need to just stop saying, somebody go do this. Someone go build this platform. For one, it's hard. For two, it takes more than just an idea and someone doing it. Three, a bunch of other people are already doing this. And four, what are you doing?
Okay. We have to tell people to do it. We have to tell people to do it. It's hard. It's painful. It takes sacrifice. And it's impossible. But we have to do it because we have a God that does the impossible. We have a God that kills giants with a single stone. We have a God that destroys entire nations by men walking around a wall and blowing a trumpet. We have a God who killed an entire nation's army with only 300 men. So I don't want to say, don't do it. I don't want to stop telling people to make their own platforms and to create their own technology because it's hard and because there's all these other circumstances. I say that because it's hard, because it's impossible, because it just seems like it could never happen, that's all the more reason a Christian should do it to display the glory and majesty of God. So that when we look back 10, 15 years from now at these Christians who have these technology empires and they're changing the world, we can look back and say, only God could have done that. Only God could have taken down Zuckerberg and Google and Twitter. Only God could have done that. But look at what he did. He did it. And that's the kind of optimism we need when we're looking at this battle with these uncircumcised Philistines. We've got to have this attitude that, look, man, this is impossible. I mean, imagine the pre-Reformation. Imagine the time pre-Reformation where the Catholic Church has so much control over people. So much control. You couldn't even get books to read. And you barely could. You know what? You couldn't even read the Bible because they didn't even let people learn to read. And then they wouldn't even translate the Bible in a language that common people could understand. Imagine how impossible that was to overcome. And so that's why I say all the more reason for Christians to do it. That's all the more reasons for us to do it. And we're going to do it. And there's people that are listening to this show right now who have these skills. And there's Christians that are listening to this show right now that have the money. And you know you have the money. And so my encouragement is stop sitting on it. Stop burying it in the ground or setting it in a bank. And let's do the impossible. Let's do the impossible. I believe that it is incredibly hard and borderline impossible for us to conquer Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. I believe it's borderline impossible for us to end abortion in this nation. I believe it's borderline impossible that our nation will turn back to God's law. But I know in every instance that we will do it. Because the God of the universe, Jesus Christ, has seated at the right hand of God, and he is making all things new. So yes, it's hard. It's impossible. It is. If I were to mention it to any investor, I have a plan that will make me on equal grounds a competitor to Facebook. That investor should look at me bold face and say, that's impossible. But if it's a Christian investor and he knows I at least, at the very least, have the skills and the talent to make it happen, he should trust in the Lord, his God. And those two should come together and they should attempt the impossible. And at the end of the day, if it fails and you lose your money and everything's sucked down a drain, at least you know you did something amazing or you attempted something amazing for the glory of God and you leave it to God. And I know Matt will probably disagree with that because it seems like a terrible business decision. But sometimes that's what it takes. It takes investing radically. I remember reading the biography of Jeff Bezos and all these people who pulled out of Amazon when they were really struggling. They pulled out tons of money when they were going through tough times. And now that money would have been worth billions of dollars. So we need to be careful with our money. We need to invest wisely in the people that we choose to invest in. We don't need to just give our money to anybody that has an idea. But we need to start looking for those ones who have what it takes, who have the mindset, who have the vision, who have the skills and talent to make it happen, even if it seems completely and utterly impossible. We need to invest in the Christians that are going to make smartphones irrelevant. We need to invest in the Christians that's going to make air travel irrelevant. We need to invest in the Christians that are going to make the internet irrelevant. That's the sort of mentality that we need to be investing in as Christians. And God will bless it. God will bless it. I have no doubt about that. Anyways, before I wrap up, I want everybody to follow me on Minds, and my Minds account is I'm King Ginger. I'm KingGinger. I'm really excited about this platform. Not because it's just an alternative to Facebook. I really like the business model that it has. I like the ability for me to receive tokens and then take those tokens and be able to invest in promoting my content. And I like the idea that other people who like my content can send me tokens and I can use those tokens again to promote my content. So I think it's a fantastic idea. One, because it rewards the creator to make good content, and it allows the users and the followers of creators to be able to reward the creators for the content that they enjoy. And that reward allows the content creators to get more views of their content. And I've always said that the winner of the next social media website will be the one that rewards the content creators the best and allows content creators to get the most views, because that's what everybody wants. Facebook is harming the core of their platform. They're harming the core of their platform because they are not rewarding content creators for making good content, and they're restricting people's content based on the algorithm that they determine other people want to see. And what's good about Minds is it allows the individuals, but just between the creator and the viewers and followers of the creator, to determine what they want to see without Minds being the middleman. So this is the first social media platform I've actually really been excited about. I was happy about Gab, but it was so buggy, like I couldn't even use it that well. And I still, honestly, to this day, like the app doesn't even load for me. And I've looked to see if they have updated it, and they haven't. So I don't know what's going on with Gab. I know that they're working on building an entire infrastructure from their own bank to their own cryptocurrency to their own servers. They've had to do that because they were so so deplatformed. But anyway, Minds, they've been working on Minds.com since 2011. So it's Minds.com / I'm King Ginger. If you go there, follow me and let me know you've been listening to Law and Profits. That'd be really cool. That's going to be the social media outlet I'm going to be really working and grinding on, like I never grinded on social media before. So again, thank you guys for watching. Be sure to sign up for the Fight Laugh Feast Club. Make sure you put in the code HTBT. Give Matt some credit for that. Show him that you love him. And Matt, you're a great dude. I'd be more than happy to be interviewed by you anytime on your show. Just let me know. And I hope one day I actually get to meet you in real life. That'd be awesome. So I just for clarification, I agreed with everything Matt said. I just disagreed with the pessimism of it. And obviously, speaking as a post-millennialist, you could probably tell. So again, we'll see you next week.